Exodus chapter 30. As you're turning there, let me encourage all of you, especially all of you who are saved, to come out on Tuesday night. Yesterday morning in the men's prayer session, one of the brothers prayed, Lord, you have said in your word that we are to pray and faint not. It is sad when you see Christians fainting. The Old Testament scriptures tell us that we are to mount up with wings as eagles. We are to run and not be weary. We are to walk and not faint. And some Christians are fainting today. What is the remedy for fainting Christians? Come out Tuesday night. We encourage you to do so. And then, too, for those of us who are fathers, our day is quickly passing. Back in the States, maybe you do so in the Bahamas, I don't know, but back in the States, we have different weeks that are assigned for different recognitions. Different months are given to different people, different organizations, different things. I know back a couple of years ago, June was Dairy Month. And I thought to myself, now here they give an entire month to the cow and only one day to fathers. It doesn't seem fair. But then I thought, well, the cow is a very sacrificial animal. We get the milk from the cow to make all the dairy products. Then we eat the meat. Then we use the hide of the animal to make shoes and used clothing. Cow had it first. Then we take the horns and the hoofs and the bone and make jello. So the cow is a very sacrificial animal. But so are some fathers. But it doesn't seem fair to give an entire month to the cow. I was told a few months ago it was hog month. My, my. And just one day for fathers. Well, we take what we can get and make the best of it. Let me see the hands of all the fathers in the audience tonight. Hey, happy Father's Day. Enjoy it while you can. Exodus chapter 30. Look at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Let's come over to the New Testament scriptures, please, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Come, please, to verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Come on over, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. Come down, please, to verse 15. He saith unto them, this is the Lord Jesus, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, whose name means a little stone, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, the word there for rock means massive rock, not Peter, but Christ. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Many of you in this audience, if not all of you, are familiar with Old Testament history concerning the Jewish people coming out of the land of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for many years. God used Moses as their leader, and God conveyed his message through his mouthpiece, Moses, in speaking to the children of Israel to lead them out of that land of bondage to a land flowing with milk and honey. And the Jewish people were redeemed by blood. Every family had to take a lamb, and the blood of that lamb had to be applied to the doorpost and the door lintel, for God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They left Egypt that night. They were redeemed by blood. Then they came to the Red Sea, and we think of how God worked in rolling those waters back. So much so that the people were able to cross over on dry land. And yet the waters were brought back together when the Egyptians followed after the Israelites. And Pharaoh and his army were drowned. Mary, don't you weep, don't you moan. Pharaoh's army was drowned. God gave instructions to the Jewish people after bringing them out of the land of Egypt that he was going to dwell among his people. Amazing revelation that Almighty God was going to come down and actually live in the midst of his people. God gave instructions to Moses concerning the erection of this tabernacle. God's dwelling place. That tabernacle was a temporary structure until the Jewish people got to the land of promise, at which time a temple, a more permanent structure, was built. But we think of God giving to his people instructions concerning the building and erection of this tabernacle in the wilderness. The house of God, if you please. We read in Exodus chapter 30 concerning the material that was used in the foundation of that tabernacle. We read of silver. And God said that every male 20 years old and above was to pay a half shekel of silver. We read in Exodus chapter 30 where God said, the rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than that half shekel of silver. And if you were to examine the chapters in the book of Exodus dealing with the foundation of that tabernacle, and those chapters would be Exodus chapter 26, chapter 36, and chapter 38, other references, but you check those scriptures in connection with the silver that was used, and you will see that of the half shekel that every male paid, that went into the building of silver sockets upon which the tabernacle was founded. In thinking of that dwelling place of God in the wilderness, we realize from the study of Scripture that it was a weighty foundation. In examining these scriptures in connection with the tabernacle and its foundation, you will read where 48 boards were used. These boards were covered with gold, but 48 boards were used. Each board was about 15 feet in length and about 2.25 feet in width. They stood upright, and each one of these 48 boards rested upon 2 sockets of silver. Get that fixed in your mind. Think of that tabernacle. Think of the boards going around on 3 sides. The entranceway at the front, of course. But think of those boards being covered with gold, standing upright, resting upon each board, resting upon 2 sockets of silver. In the study of these scriptures, you will find that there were 100 talents of silver plus 1,775 shekels left over. 100 talents of silver used to make 100 sockets of silver in all for the tabernacle. 100 talents of silver used to make 100 sockets of silver. 1 talent was about 114 pounds. 1 socket, or 1 talent, was about 114 pounds. Altogether, in the foundation of that relatively small building, the dwelling place of God, about 6 tons of silver were used. That was quite a weighty foundation. And it was a costly foundation. Compared to today's currency, as near as I could calculate it, it would come to about, well, over 750,000 dollars, just for the foundation. Now, was there ever, in proportion to its size, such a costly foundation for such a small, a relatively small building? And the answer is yes. There is a foundation for a building that is far more costly than that tabernacle in the wilderness, and even the cost involved in the foundation of the temple later. And the building that I speak of that is more costly is the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God gave instructions that He was going to come down and actually dwell, actually live among His people. But now we come to the New Testament scriptures and we think of the meaning of all of this. We see from such portions as Hebrews chapter 9 that heaven itself was the antitype of the tabernacle and the temple, because we read that our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has entered into not a tabernacle made with hands, which is the figure of the truth, but he has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. So in thinking of that tabernacle and in thinking of the temple later in the land, we realize that it certainly speaks of heaven. Not only so, we see from such portions as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that tabernacle, and later the temple, spoke of believers. Because we read in these scriptures that I have referred to, and we see it in other portions, where Paul asked believers, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God? For ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price." But as we think of this tabernacle, as we think of this foundation of silver, we ask, well, now, what is the meaning of all of this? What is the meaning of these men, those 20 years old and upward, paying a half shekel of silver, and that silver being used for these silver sockets as the foundation of the tabernacle? What does all of this mean? As we come into the New Testament scriptures, we think of God's habitation. We think of God's dwelling place. And God's dwelling place upon earth today is his people. All of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ in that personal way. Regardless of what secondary names people might take upon themselves, if they have made that personal identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him by faith as their Savior, all such ones make up the body of Christ. All such ones make up the temple of God. It's been my privilege to be in the Middle East as well as in Europe on a number of occasions. I can remember the times we've been through Greece, looking at all of these ruins of the many temples that were built in years gone by. And one cannot help but think of the Apostle Paul writing to believers at Corinth concerning believers being the temple of God. For those of you who have been to places like Greece, and if you perchance go at some time in the future, you will see all of these ruins of temples that were built and dedicated to the gods and goddesses of Greek mythology. And in each one of these temples, or at each one of these temples, there was erected a statue depicting this particular god or this particular goddess. And now Paul is writing to believers in that place who thought about all of these temples dedicated to the gods and goddesses of Greek mythology. And Paul impresses the believers of that day as he impresses us today through the written word. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God who is in you? We are the temple of God. And in thinking of the foundation of the temple of God, the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize in the study of these scriptures something of the costly foundation upon which God's dwelling place is built. The whole range of God's truth rests upon two great verities: the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God had said that every man 20 years old and upward was to pay that half shekel of silver. No exemption, no excuse to be pleaded. If God is to have a redeemed people among whom He will dwell, it must be according to His will. It must be according to His thoughts and not the thoughts of the people. So every male had to pay the small price, half shekel of silver. So small, yet it was an acknowledgement on their part that each one stood in God's presence needing grace and pardon. At the close of His Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, where we have read, the Lord spoke about people being on a sure foundation, a solid foundation. The Lord Jesus said, the person who builds upon a sure foundation is wise. The wise man built on the solid rock. The foolish man built upon sand. Recently, Louise and I were up in my hometown of Richmond, Virginia. She's from Harrisonburg up in Shenandoah Valley. But recently we were in Richmond, Virginia, and we heard about this one area where a number of homes have been built to the west of Richmond, Brandon Mill it's called, a rather exclusive place. But a number of very costly homes have been built in Brandon Mill, and yet we were told that a number of these homes are literally falling apart because of the soil upon which these houses were built. The soil is crumbling. The Lord Jesus Christ said, wise is that person who builds his house upon a solid foundation, and foolish is that person who seeks to build his building upon a foundation that is not solid. My dear friends, listen. I realize I'm not saying anything to you that you have not heard before, that you're not aware of, but if you're going to stand the storms of life, if you're going to stand for God, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be numbered among those who are saved, then it must be that you will be founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the solid rock foundation. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 said to His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they gave their answers. But the Lord Jesus looked at His disciples and asked, but whom do ye say that I am? And Peter answered for the disciples, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter. That is to say, you are a little stone. And upon this rock, speaking of himself, not Peter, as some would have us to believe, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter knew that he was not the solid rock foundation upon which the church, the dwelling place of God, is built. In his first epistle, he said, we are living stones. He included himself. We are living stones. That is, when we are saved, when we trust Christ as Savior, when we come to the solid rock foundation, He places us upon Himself and gives to us His own divine nature so that we now have the rock nature. We're living stones founded upon Christ. Peter knew that. Paul knew that, for he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, is it? 11. Jesus Christ is the solid rock foundation. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, no doubt, had this foundation in mind, and quite possibly he was thinking of Exodus chapter 30 and the other scriptures pertaining to the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God in the Old Testament days, and the silver foundation. Peter must have had those scriptures in mind when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed from your vain or empty conversation or empty manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers, with gold and silver." Silver cannot redeem you. Gold cannot redeem you. And you are redeemed from this empty manner of living, not by gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. So now we connect these verses. And we realize, as we look back to these pictures that were given in the Old Testament days concerning the foundation of God's dwelling place, that it was situated upon silver sockets. That was the price that was paid for the foundation. Now, Peter says, we are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, where the Lord Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay the necessary price that we might be saved and become the dwelling place of God. My dear friend, when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, when you come to the end of yourself realizing that there is nothing within yourself that will gain access into heaven, when you come to the end of yourself and turn from yourself and from your situation, from all that is hindering you to receive Christ, and when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, He will save you. He said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, He will make you a living stone, and He will situate you upon Himself. You will be upon the solid rock foundation. Oh, how wonderful it is to have a sure and eternal foundation, knowing that we as the church of God, the dwelling place of God, are upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. O joyous hour when God to me a vision gave of Calvary. My bonds were loosed, my soul unbound. I sang upon redemption ground. Redemption ground, the ground of peace. Redemption ground, O wondrous grace. Here let our praise to God abound, who saves upon redemption ground. And some of you are going on through life, hearing all of this week after week, realizing, as you have realized in the past, that your life needs a solid foundation. And I repeat, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have everlasting life, if you're going to have your sins forgiven, if you're going to have a home in heaven, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ here, if your life is going to count for God, then you must be upon the solid rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because His building, His dwelling place, is founded upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Himself. Now, each man had to give a half shekel of silver. When he did so, his name was put into the book of Numbers. That is, he was numbered among the Lord's people. When that half shekel of silver was paid, that one was numbered among God's redeemed. In thinking of that, we realize, too, that it was an individual matter. Well, salvation is a personal matter, isn't it? I cannot be saved for you. You cannot be saved for me. I cannot be saved for my family members. Oh, would to God we sometimes think that if we could be saved for our family members, we'd have all of our family members saved, all of our friends saved. But it is a personal matter, isn't it? The Lord said each one 20 years old and above had to pay the half shekel of silver in order to be numbered among the redeemed. You know, one of Satan's devices as he seeks to blind the minds of those who believe not is to make people feel that since they are part of a Christian community, that they somehow will make it. I've been to places where it seems people come to the meetings over a period of years without ever professing faith in Christ, without ever taking a definite stand for Christ, and they just sort of blend in with the decor of the building, you know? I mean, they're there, and people think they're saved. And maybe they're entertaining the thought that they're saved since they're connected with a Christian community. Oh, the deceitfulness of Satan. My friend, for you to be saved, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ in that personal way. You must receive Him by faith as your Savior. And in thinking of this picture that we have in Exodus chapter 30, the poor and rich were to pay alike. The rich were not to pay more, and the poor were not to pay less. Now, when you read of the other times when God called upon His people to present their offerings, it was on the basis of what each one was able to give. Not so in this instance. Whether they were rich, whether they were poor, it was a half shekel of silver. Now you might ask, well, is this not like paying for salvation? It sounds like in paying a half shekel of silver that they were paying to be numbered among God's people. Well, let me suggest to you that this small sum was simply an acknowledgement that they stood in need of redemption. It was simply a token acknowledgement. This is the reason the Bible teaches and we emphasize that one must confess faith in Christ. My friend, if you're going to be ransomed, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be God's dwelling place, then you must be situated upon Christ. Now, Christ said that He Himself is the foundation. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid an infinite price that He might be the foundation of His living church. The choir was singing about the Lord Jesus Christ paying that debt at Calvary. And we were singing about it in our congregational singing. The Son of God came down from heaven. He took upon Him human form for the purpose of going to Calvary to pay what was involved in dealing with sin. He offered Himself without spot to God. He shed His precious blood. He died for us and as us upon the cross, and He was buried. But God raised Him from the dead, and He's the living Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God makes it quite clear to us that the ransom has been paid. The Lord Jesus said, I am come to give my life a ransom for many. And the price is paid. He paid an infinite price to obtain eternal redemption for us. The poor, the rich, the foolish, the wise, the ignorant, the learned, the immoral, the moral, all stood on the same level, made no difference of their standing in life, made no difference of what tribe they were from, made no difference of their background or their pedigree. They were all alike when it came to the foundation of God's dwelling place. And we find the same is true when we come to the fulfillment of this in thinking of the dwelling place of the living God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ founded upon himself. But to be a part of it, it means that we acknowledge to God that we stand in need of his salvation, of his redemption. And we must appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him to be our Savior, because he paid the price, but it's not reckoned over to our account until we trust him in that personal way. And whether we are rich or poor, foolish or wise, ignorant or learned, immoral or moral, we all confess there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But just with the males 20 years old and upward, when they paid that half shekel, they were numbered among the redeemed. It is when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior that you will be numbered among the redeemed. Not until then. We read in Matthew chapter 7, of all of those in a coming day who will have all the right words to say. They know the language. Lord, Lord, we've done this, we've done that, we've done it all in your name. But the Lord Jesus will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. We were saying last Sunday night concerning our thoughts on the great white throne judgment. When the books are open, there will be that last book, the book of life, which will be open. And God will say, but your name is not here in the book of life. You could have been saved. You could have received Christ as your personal Savior, but your name is not here. My dear friends, when you call upon Christ to be your Savior and enter into what he paid at Calvary on your behalf, then you are numbered among the redeemed. Your name is put in his book of life. And you're saved. God proved himself to be no respecter of persons when he gave those instructions. Everyone paying a half shekel of silver, regardless of who they were, a half shekel of silver. And if you're going to be part of the living church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must come to him and receive him as your Savior. Would you do it tonight? My dear friends, speakers have been through these islands and the local speakers have preached over the years, and no doubt there are those in this audience. And you've been wrestling with this for a long time. You know what you need to do, but whatever the reason, you haven't done it as yet. Maybe you're thinking, well, if I take some public stand here and then I fall afterwards, I'm going to be ashamed. Well, that's commendable thinking. You don't want to be a hypocrite. But don't worry about what might happen next week or next month or next year. Why not take the first step right now and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Do that first. Don't worry about anything else. You're not saved without Christ. So let's take first steps first. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight. Will you do so? We're going to have an invitational song while we're singing, or afterwards. If you would like to slip right over to the office, there will be someone or ones there that will help you further. I stand ready, others stand ready to be of any help to you. But settle this matter tonight. And be numbered among the redeemed and be situated upon a sure and eternal foundation upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Would you do it? I trust you will.
Number 230.